Hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and we will be going into our study of Satan, the enemy, letter E, study number 5, and the ABCs of Christian Growth today. I hope that you're doing fine, and I thank you for tolerating my last lesson, and I hope that I have a little bit more sense during this one, but we'll go right into studying God's Word, and that's what we're here for. If we're not going to study God's Word, we might as well just go fishing or something or whatever. But there's no sense in trying to find anything out about the Lord and about truth without God's Word. It's God's written document, His Word to us in writing, that we can know the mind of the Lord concerning things and concerning truth. Now, what we're talking about is the enemy, Satan. We've talked about, does Satan exist? We've talked about the origin of Satan. And I believe the last recording we talked about the sin of Satan. Now, this time we're going to talk about where is Satan now. Where does the Bible say that Satan is now, according to the Scriptures? Now, we're not going to make anything up. We're just going to read the Scriptures and let the Scriptures speak for themselves. Now, where is Satan now? Well, in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, and I'll give you these scriptures at the end of this study. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Okay, a lot of truth in that scripture right there in Ephesians concerning what we're talking about. Where is Satan now? The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Okay, the powers that travel through the air. We got all kinds of powers that travel through the air, and being the prince is like being in charge of it. He's the king. He's the prince. He's the prince. He's the one that's in charge of it. The ruler, the overseer, the ruler of it. The prince of the power of the air. So we're talking about, where is Satan now? Well, the Bible says that he is in command of the powers of everywhere that the air is. Now, I believe, and I've heard preachers preach on this, but I believe that Satan is in his domain is everywhere that there is air present. Okay, and talking about the first heaven. Now, we know when we get up into the second heaven, where the stars and the moon and the sun and the host of heaven is up there, that there is no air up there. The atmosphere is below there in the firmament down here where we are. Okay, but about 80, 90,000 feet or something like that, it begins to thin out and then it goes away and goes into space. Okay, so Satan's area of domain is the prince of the power of the air. And he is the ruler of the darkness of this world. Okay, and it says that he is also, there's a couple of other truths in that verse, "wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." You see, this world, in this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Okay, so the prince of the power of the air is the prince of this world. Okay, and this, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you see that Satan is a spirit. He is not like us. He is a creature that God has made, and he is a spirit. All right? And then we said, what we're talking about is, where is he now? Well, according to the Bible in Ephesians, he's in this world. He is the prince of this world. Okay, now in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God, before our God, day and night." All right, so where is Satan now? Well, what's he up to? Where is he now? Well, Satan, the Bible says in that verse right there that he is called the accuser and that he is cast down because one of the things that he was doing was accusing us before our God day and night. So he is the ruler of this world and the prince and the power of the air, but he does have permission to go into the third heaven before God and accuse us. And it says that he can appear before God to accuse the believers, because the Bible says that we just read, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Day and night. So he's busy. He's busy going back and forth telling God, tattletaling, and telling God about things that we do and that we don't do. And he's the accuser. So where is he now? Well, he's the prince of the power of the air. And he's going back and forth to God, from here to God's throne. And I don't know how that's done. We can't travel that fast, but apparently they can. And he's going back and forth to God's throne and accusing us. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," notice whose adversary it is. It says your adversary. "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." All right? So where is Satan now? According to that verse right there, where is he at? He's walking about this earth, isn't he? And he's not only just walking about this earth, up and down and in and in and out of it. He's not only walking about this earth, but he's walking and he's looking for somebody to destroy. The Bible says devour, to completely devour you. It says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary," the Bible has just described what the devil's relationship to you is. He is your adversary. He is your enemy. He's not waiting on you to be his enemy. He is your enemy. "Be vigilant, because be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, I remember one time in the past, years and years ago, my mother and father's house caught fire, and I was the one that was there by myself, and that thing took off and started blazing. And it was made out of lighter pine, and it caught fire. And that fire was so hot that it was just throwing flames out of every window and everything. And when the volunteer fire department got there, they had a bulldozer that was going around the outside of the property and digging a fire trench line. And he got there in the driveway, and I said, "Can you put it out? Can you put it out? Can you put it out?" And you know what he said? He said, "No, it's completely devoured. It's completely devoured." And that makes me think about this verse. It says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." You know, you shouldn't play games with the devil. You shouldn't play footsies with him. And the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Not anything. Not in conversation. Not holding hands. Not skipping a rope. Not doing nothing. Give no place to the devil. None. The Bible says to abstain from the appearance, all appearance of evil. If it appears to be evil, stay away from it. Because there's an enemy that is your enemy, your adversary, that's behind that, that is going to try to take you out, to completely devour you. Where is Satan now? He's walking about looking for somebody to devour. Now, that's some kind of thing to know about somebody, isn't it? But that's what I would want to know about an enemy if he was a true enemy, wouldn't you? That's what I would want God to tell me. I wouldn't want God to tell me that he's just a lovey-dovey. He is the enemy, but he don't mean no harm. He ain't trying to hurt nobody. He just... he's just waiting his time, and God's going to put him in hell, and everything's going to be all right. I mean, if I got an enemy walking about that's seeking to devour me, I appreciate God telling me things like that, don't you? You should. Where's Satan now? Well, he's the prince of the power of the air. And another comment on that prince of the power of the air, the powers of the air that travel through the air, can you think of any? Electricity power travels through the air. Radio travels through the air. Microwave travels through the air. What else travels through the air? The prince of the power of the air. And according to Revelation 12:10, what we read, Satan can go before God's throne. I don't know what the process is, and I don't know if he has to announce himself or make an appointment or whatever, but it said day and night. And he goes there for the reason of accusing us. And a lot of them, rightfully so. But the advantage that we have is that our Lord Jesus Christ is there also. And he stands as our advocate, as our daysman. He stands in between, and he says, Father, they're one of yours, and I've forgiven that. My blood has covered that. And the Lord will tell Satan, you're dismissed. And then he'll go try to find somebody else to accuse, like me. Okay, and you. Where's Satan now? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us to be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And remember what he did in Job. Now, Job says in chapter 1, verse 7, and it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Now, I don't know how these beings, these creatures can do this. They're spirits. But God says they can go. And remember the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfected body and his glorified body. He could travel through walls and everything and just appear and disappear at will. And apparently Satan can do the same. But he can go in, and it says in Job there, the Lord asked him where he was going and what he was up to. Whence comest thou? What are you doing? What are you up to? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Okay, and apparently looking for somebody to devour. So where is Satan now? Well, he's going to and fro in the earth, and he's walking up and down in it, just like the Lord said. It's like God's Word said. It's not hard to figure out what he's doing. He's in the atmosphere. He's in our world. He's the ruler of the darkness of this world. He's in charge of this domain down here. And just for now, and that he's going back and forth between here and God's throne and accusing us. And he's walking up and down and in and up and down in the earth and to and fro in the earth. Now, from these scriptures, we learn that Satan is alive and that he's active in many areas. He's busy. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, it says, and then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, in that verse, we have a couple of truths in there. This is called the sheep and the goat judgment. The sheep and goat. Where the Lord judges how the nations in the tribulation treated Israel during the tribulation. Okay, and the Lord's going to judge and say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. But he makes one other comment in that verse. He says, prepared for the devil and his angels. So the lake of fire and hell were created for the devil and his angels. Do you hear what the verse said? It said, prepared for the devil and his angels. The Lord made the everlasting fire for the devil and his angels. He didn't make it for human beings, but that's where human beings go when they reject Jesus Christ. Jesus came down here for a reason, and he came down here for a purpose, and that is to save. He said, I've not come The Lord said that he didn't come down here, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And if you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and you've just kind of snuffed it off the end of your nose, you're walking on thin ice and you're in danger. You are in danger because you ain't but one breath from going into eternity. And if you go into eternity in your sins, the Lord will put you in hell. And the Bible doesn't say that he's putting you in there even though you are going to be tormented. The Bible says that he's going to put you in hell to punish you forever and ever. Now, I hope that you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today and go ahead and get that done and over with and do it because you want to and because you know that that is what the Lord commands, and that is the only way to heaven. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope that you'll call upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior today and tell the truth. And as best as you know how, call upon his name according to believing on his word and what he has said. He said he'd save you, and if he don't save you, he ain't saved me. If he didn't save me, he didn't save nobody else, because he said he came into the world to save. He didn't come into the world to condemn. Now, that's one thing that Satan's doing right now is condemning you. He's trying to get God against you, just like he tried to get God against Adam and against Eve and against everybody else and everything else he's ever touched. He tried to get Jesus Christ himself against God. Remember? That's his business. Where is he now? Busy doing what Satan does. He's the prince and the power of the air. He appears before God to accuse us. And according to 1 Peter and Job, he's walking in the earth. Now, according to Matthew, what we read just a minute ago, Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That tells us where he's going to end up. Also in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, the Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. There's where he's going to end up, but that's not where he's at now. Now, the Bible says for us to be careful not to give place to him, not to to abstain from all the appearance of evil. It says not to give place to the devil, for us to be sober and to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to take you out, and he wants to kill you. And you say, well, Brother TV, you can't say things like that. I ain't saying it. The Bible's saying it. I don't want the devil after me. But I guarantee you, is there anything in your life that you could say that it's the devil's fault? I ain't saying that you wasn't involved in it. What I'm saying is that the devil was responsible probably for making it happen because God wouldn't have done that to you. It has in my life. Now, we learn that Satan is going to end up in the lake of fire, but he's not there yet. And when he is cast into hell, he's not going to be down. He's not going to be the king of hell for all you people that say, all you people that think, you know, for a society that doesn't believe in hell, they sure use that word hell a lot, don't they? Go to hell, the hell with it. Hell. I mean, just all kind of hell, hell, hell this, hell that, hell, hell, hell. But they don't believe in hell. Yeah, right. You know, Satan's not in hell yet, but when he gets there, he's not going to be the king of hell. He's not going to be down there with a pitchfork poking and this and that and the other. There's going to be hatred, everything that's ungodly and all the hate and the strife and the malice and the envy and the guile and just everything like that is going to be there. And Satan himself is going to be there, so you know it's going to be there. That's what he's made up of. And he's going to be there. And the false prophet and the beast is going to be there. And all you rock singers that mock the Lord and blaspheme the Holy Ghost and all you radio stars and all you TV stars and all you sex symbols and all you Playboy bunnies and all of them and all of them. If they didn't know Jesus Christ, their Savior, they're going to be there, and they're going to be burning, and they're going to be in torments, just like in Luke chapter 16, the rich man. And they're going to be tormented forever and ever. And the Bible says, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And the Bible even goes even farther than that and makes it even more personal. The Lord doesn't mind making things personal and letting you know how he really feels about things. He doesn't in general say that he's going to, oh, well, we're going to torment them day and night forever and ever. He says, I'm going to punish them. And I'm going to punish them for eternity. And if you ain't saved, you're going to be one of them. And you better take this seriously. And if you know what's good for you, you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ as best as you know how today on the basis of what God has said in his written word. He promises you that if you'll call upon his name and receive him as Savior, that God the Holy Ghost will enter into you. He will birth you. You will be born again and you will have eternal life and your sins will be forgiven and blotted out and taken away. And you will have your name written in the book of life, and you have a home in heaven and be with Jesus Christ forever. What a deal. What a deal. Okay, so where is Satan now? We've figured that out, and we've seen what the Bible has to say about that. Now, let's move on just a little bit, and we're not going to have time today to finish it, but let's move on. Satan's working among the unsaved. Now, Satan has two. He works among the unsaved. The people that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior have not been born again, and he works among the saved people. And he has two different purposes among these two groups of people. If you're born again, then you are the saved, and if you are not born again, it's just that simple. You are not saved. You are lost. You are unsaved. Okay? Now, we're going to talk about Satan's workings among the unsaved first. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38 says, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. According to these scriptures, according to that scripture right there, what do the scriptures call those that are lost? It calls them the children of the wicked one, doesn't it? Now listen to it again. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. So Satan has children. And they're the unsaved. The Bible calls them the children of darkness. In the New Testament, Paul said that we was once walked in the world. And according to the things of the world, and talking about Satan too, as far as being under him. In John chapter 8, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Satan's working among the unsaved. Well, the first thing we need to establish is who the unsaved are and who their father is. Now, according to these scriptures that we've been reading right here, what does God call those that are lost? Well, according to that first scripture, he calls them the children of the wicked one. And then in John 8:44, it says, ye are of your father, the devil. So whether if you don't know the Lord, then God is not your father. somebody might have told you God is everyone's father, but that's not what the Bible teaches. God is the father of the saved. The devil is the father of the unsaved. The Bible says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. That's Jesus Christ talking. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 10, listen to this. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? We see here that one of the apostles is chewing on somebody and chewing them out. And he says, O full of all subtlety and all mischief. And then he called him, then he named him. He said, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? So what does God call those that are lost in that? He calls them children of the devil. Now what's Satan's workings among the unsaved? First of all, we establish who the unsaved are. They're children of the devil, and their father is the devil. And they're children of the wicked one. That's who we were before the Lord pulled us out of that and saved us and adopted us into the family of God. Isn't it good to be saved and be out of that mess? And not walking according to the world and the things of this world, not walking to the according to the devil and having him rule over us. Isn't it good to be out of that? I'm glad to be out of it. According to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, listen to this. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, if you're born again, God the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you. And God the Holy Ghost, you are no longer walking under your own righteousness. You're walking under God's righteousness. And you have God's righteousness on you. Christ's righteousness on you. And whether you have a problem with a brother or whether you don't have a problem with a brother, you still have the love of Christ in you that has to love that brother. And you have to love him whether you like it or not. And you that are saved, you know what I'm talking about. You can disagree with somebody and still love them. And you can have an argument with somebody and you can be angry and sin not. But you have a love. It's a different kind of love than the world. It's Christ's love. And the Bible says, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Here's the difference, he's saying. Whosoever doeth the not righteousness is not of God. If it walks like a duck, smells like a duck, acts like a duck, quacks like a duck, must be a duck. But in this relativistic world that we live in today, brothers and sisters, whatever's right for you and whatever's right for me, we're all right. Let's all come together. And there is no wrong. There is no black and white. There is no left and black and white and left and right. There is no up and down. There's no salt and pepper. That's the way the world's headed, but that's not the way God is. God calls on. God says that there is left and there's right. There's black and white. There's, I'm looking for a word and I can't find it. But Satan's workings among the unsaved. Well, first we establish what the unsaved are and who the unsaved are and what their names are. Well, we see that what God calls them, God doesn't hesitate about calling them. He calls them the children of the wicked one. He says that ye are of your father, the devil. That's Jesus Christ talking right there, the Son of God. He said, you are of the father, ye are of your father, the devil. And then one of the apostles says, thou enemy of all righteousness, and he called him thou child of the devil. Is this the children in this the children of God and children of the devil are manifest? Whosoever doeth righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. If you absolutely can be like the world and you don't have something, somebody in you that's making you love your brother that's born again, talking about a born again person, not loving the world, you don't have a desire to do any kind of righteousness at all, and it's not in you and you don't have any conviction about it at all, I'd be checking. Because if God the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you, there is a difference. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that doesn't mean everything's changed at once. That means they have begun to change. And they are in the process of changing. And they are definitely changing. And if you say that you're born again and that you're not a child of the devil anymore and you're a child of God, then there ought to be some changing going on in you. Satan's workings among the unsaved. Well, according to the scriptures, God calls the lost ones the children of devil. He calls them children of the wicked one. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ," excuse me, "who is the image of God, should shine upon them." What's Satan's workings among the unsaved? Well, first, he's fathering them. Second, they are his children, and he is fathering the unsaved as Satan would father the unsaved. And secondly, a major work of his is to blind their minds, in whom the God of this world. Now, who'd we say the God of this world was? We said it was the devil. He is the prince of the power of the air, remember? Okay, and he is the God of this world, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's one thing that Satan is busy among the unsaved doing, is blinding their minds. You say, how's he do that? Well, he does it with all kinds of things. Don't you know there's a bazillion, mostly with that one-eyed monster you got in your living room, that television. Don't you know that thing is blinding the minds of those that would believe? There ain't not one thing on that television has anything to do with Jesus Christ or the gospel of Jesus Christ or anything having to do with righteousness. He's blinding the minds of them which believe not. He's keeping them blinded. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In this dark world, in this wicked world, in this dark world, it ain't nothing but dark. And when something from the Lord, your testimony, I'm sorry about my voice, and you walk by somebody that's lost, and you say, praise the Lord, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shines right then. And they look up, and they see that light pass by them. Who is the image of God should shine unto them. What the devil's doing in this world, his workings among the unsaved, is fathering them, and he's also working among them to blind their minds so that they cannot see Jesus Christ and they cannot see the glorious gospel of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord sent us into the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's why the Lord sent us, is so that we could be the light. The Bible says, therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are to let our lights shine for the Lord. Why? So that they can see our good works and glorify God and get saved. Okay, what's the devil's business among the unsaved? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why is he blinding them? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's blinding them. He's blinding them. Okay, so we've been talking about Satan. We're on the subject of the enemy. And we're doing the best we can. And I hope that you're coming right along with me. I hope I hadn't dropped you off the wagon somewhere. We've talked about in the past, we've talked about does Satan exist. We've talked about the origin of Satan. We've talked about the sin of Satan. We've talked about where is Satan now. And we just got through talking about Satan's workings among the unsaved. Now let me give you the scriptures for today. And we will begin there where Satan is now. And here they are. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Job chapter 1, verse 7. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. John chapter 8, verse 44. Acts chapter 13, verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. All right. Well, the next thing that we're going to talk about on our next recording is the other half of the spectrum. We're talking about Satan's workings among the unsaved and how he's blinding them so that they cannot see Christ. And that's the truth. That's what the Bible says, and that's what he's doing. And if you open your eyes and look around, you can see it. You can see it going on. He's doing it by the television and the billboards and the newspapers and the news reports and everything that's going on. I mean, people don't get fair radio anymore. You can put anything that's dirty and nasty and everything else on the radio, but you can't put anything godly and righteousness. He's blinding them. He's keeping that gospel away from them. And the only ones that can take the gospel are the ones that know the gospel, and that's us. Because the world's not going to get them. The God of this world, and he's in charge of it. He's the prince of the power of the air. And you can see that going on. If you walk in the Spirit, you can see these things. We're going to talk about next recording Satan's workings among real Christians. People that have been born again, that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, and have God the Holy Ghost indwelling them. So until then, I pray that you have learned today, and I thank you, and I pray that the Lord would bless you for honoring him and studying his word. And I personally thank you. Bye-bye.